starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Australia Day 1972 saw the first Aboriginal embassy erected outside Parliament.
The native title legislation must be amended.
And they've walked this land so many times before anybody came.
I am sorry.
Today in the headlines, New South Wales Premier Chris Minns is standing by police after the state's police monitor announced an investigation into alleged misconduct at a Sydney protest against visiting Israeli president. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has criticised the Liberal Party after Angus Taylor won the Liberal Party leadership vote on Friday. The search continues for a grandfather abducted by mistake in what police say is a botched underworld kidnapping. That and more coming up in the news. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns is standing by police after the state's police monitor announced an investigation into alleged misconduct at a Sydney protest against the visiting Israeli president. Violent scenes erupted between officers and pro-Palestinian demonstrators at a rally opposing the visit of Isaac Herzog at Town Hall last week. Premier Minns, who previously defended New South Wales police, says he won't further comment on the issue as now it's being investigated.
At this point, I think it's important that everybody try to lower the temperature. We can't have a situation where there's fierce denunciations day after day after day and that we get whipped into a political situation where we get more chaotic scenes or more clashes in the streets. That would be terrible.
New laws to be introduced to the Western Australian Parliament this week aim to prevent race-fuelled protests following the Bondi terror attack. The Public Order Legislation Amendment Bill aims to target behaviour that causes harassment, violence and intimidation in order to protect public safety. Under the bill, police in the state will have the power to refuse a permit to protest if it's likely to promote hate-based views on religion, race, disability, gender, sexuality, or ethnicity. Symbols of terrorist organisations and other organisations banned under Commonwealth legislation will also be banned, as well as most face coverings used to intimidate. Western Australia already has the toughest hate speech penalties in Australia. The state banned Nazi symbols almost 2 years ago. The Return Service League New South Wales has supported the state government's announcement on Anzac Day public holidays. New South Wales Premier Chris Minns has announced that due to Anzac Day falling on Saturday in 2026 and Sunday in 2027, the state will join Western Australia and the ACT in granting an additional public holiday on the following Monday for those years. The RSL's acting president, Vince Williams, says the organisation didn't oppose the move after consulting with members.
And we were particularly attracted to the fact that a lot of our Anzac Day activities are underpinned by members of the Australian Defence Force, particularly throughout the state, cadets and reservists. And they've lost a weekend day, and of course they have the opportunity then to have that with their families and friends.
Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has criticised the Liberal Party after Angus Taylor won the Liberal Party leadership vote on Friday. Speaking at the New South Wales Labor Conference in Orange, Mr Albanese says Mr Taylor and his new deputy, Senator Jane Hume, had both damaged their party through ongoing opposition to Labor's tax cuts, cost of living relief measures and renewable energy plans. Mr. Albanese also criticised the Liberal Party's treatment of Ms. Lee, the first female leader of the Liberal Party in 80 years.
You had Angus Taylor on Wednesday night go out and do a press conference, say he'd resigned from the front bench, not say he was challenging, and not give a single policy reason for why Susan Lee should be removed as the first female leader of the Liberal Party after less than 1 year in that position.
Ms. Lee has resigned from the Parliament following the leadership spill, which triggers a by-election of her seat of Farrer.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
The Federal Liberal Party is pitching a reform of immigration policy as an antidote to what it says has been division under the present government. New Liberal leader Angus Taylor has spent the first few days in the job putting emphasis on immigration. He says he would cut the number of immigrants and raise the quality of those who are allowed in. Frontbencher Ted O'Brien has told Nine Network the emphasis needs to be on identifying values that bring people together.
We have seen a very divided country under Anthony Albanese. We need to see unity, not division, and that means we need to place right up front the importance of Australian values. At the end of the day, it's the one thing that will always unite us is a common set of values, and Angus Taylor has been very clear over the weekend. That's where the Liberal Party wants to go.
Mr. Taylor is being accused by some of emphasising immigration to try and ward off the threat from the One Nation Party. But Mr. O'Brien claims polling numbers for his party will go up and One Nation's will go down once Mr. Taylor starts releasing detailed policies. The New South Wales government is making more assistance available to drought-hit farmers in the state, as below-average rainfall continues to be a concern for many farmers across the country. A loan scheme offering up to $100,000 for immediate assistance is being created, as well as up to $500,000 for those undertaking sustainability-focused drought projects. There will be free financial counselling available, and the government is also providing funding for controlling feral pigs, deer and kangaroos in order to stop them competing with farmers' livestock for scarce food. Agriculture Minister Tara Moriarty is rejecting calls for transport and feed subsidies, though saying expert advice suggests they offer poor value for money. The search continues for a grandfather abducted by mistake in what police say is a botched underworld kidnapping. 85-year-old Chris Bagsarian is believed to be a widower who has lived alone for 4 years, and his family is not involved in any criminal activity. He was taken from his home in Sydney suburb of North Ryde early on Friday morning, 13th of February. Three men bundled him into a dark-coloured car which police think they have found burnt out nearby. Police are adamant the kidnappers have taken the wrong man and are urging the kidnappers to take him to a hospital or somewhere else safe. In the Northern Territory, residents are being urged to remain alert over potential flooding in the next few days after the Daly River fell below the major flood level on Friday evening. Flood warnings for Waterhouse River and Ear Creek have also dropped to moderate levels overnight, which residents in Alice Springs have begun cleaning up after flash flooding inundated and damaged several houses and businesses. However, the Bureau of Meteorology says further showers and storms are forecast over the next few days, which may cause renewed river level rises and prolonged flooding with the Daly River. The agency urges local residents to closely watch the updates as necessary. And now over to sport. In the Olympics, Australia's most successful Winter Olympics has gotten even better, with skier Matt Graham picking up a bronze medal in the new dual moguls event. Australia now has 5 medals in the Milan Cortina Games, 3 gold, 1 silver and 1 bronze. It's the second career medal for Graham, who won silver in Pyeongchang in 2018. And now for a look at today in the weather. Perth is mostly sunny at 25. Broome is seeing light rain at 30. Darwin is mostly cloudy at 31. Alice Springs is sunny at 34. Cairns is cloudy at 30. Brisbane is mostly cloudy at 26. Sydney is mostly sunny at 20. Canberra is mostly sunny at 22. Melbourne is sunny at 29. Hobart is sunny at 24. And Adelaide is sunny at 34. And that's the latest in news, sport and weather. You're listening to NITV Radio.
My name is BJ Newton. I am an associate professor at the University of New South Wales.
And you are leading Sorry Not Sorry, 18 Days of Recognising, 18 Years Since the National Apology to the Stolen Generations. Can you tell us why this is important to you?
Yes. So this is an awareness campaign that we have launched specifically over LinkedIn, but also, you know, through media such as this and opinion pieces. The reason that we're doing this is because the systematic removal of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander children in this country is getting worse. It has not stopped. It is something that was foreshadowed as the beginning of a better future from the apology, but that was not the case at all. So we have used the apology as a platform to really bring awareness to this ongoing crisis.
So you're running out of closet space. The good news? You don't need to stop shopping. You just need to start selling with The RealReal. The RealReal is the world's largest and most trusted resource for authenticated luxury resale. Whether it's that mini bag that can't even fit your phone, or those boots you never fully broke in, The RealReal handles everything from photography and copywriting to shipping and pricing. So you can just sit back, get paid, and make room for things that actually feel like you. And with 10,000 plus new arrivals every single day from top designers like Prada, Celine, Louis Vuitton, and Loewe, all for up to 90% off retail, you're bound to find something perfectly on brand to fill that extra closet space with. Plus, right now, you can get an extra $100 to shop when you sell for the first time. Make room for what feels like you. Go to TheRealReal.com to start selling and get your extra $100 to keep shopping at TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com. Terms apply.
And of course, many of us Australians, we do remember exactly where we were back in 2008 on the date of 13th of February. Our then Prime Minister Kevin Rudd, he stood in Parliament House and apologised to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across the country. In your mind, what has changed since that national apology in Parliament House back in 2008, BJ?
Yeah, it was a really symbolic and monumental moment for our people, for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people in Australia, one where we thought that we could move together with an understanding of of the act of genocide that deliberately happened over the 20th century. Unfortunately, if we look back over these past 18 years, we can see how the child protection system has not changed from the way it was in 2008 and in fact earlier. And the speeches that day were crafted in a way that enabled that to happen. It absolved the responsibility and the accountability of governments to keep doing what they were doing, which is remove children in the name of protection, when really the system is just doing as it was designed, which was to take children from their families.
And what do you think we can do as all Australians to do our best to try and improve this situation we face?
The issue is that child protection systems are based on carceral logics. So it's about punishment, it's about criminalizing families, it's about pathologizing and blaming, mothers for domestic violence and child neglect. So this has been done deliberately, again, like I said, for the removal of Aboriginal children. And I think it's really critical that people wake up to that fact that child protection systems have been developed to remove kids. So if we can think about the importance of keeping families together, not thinking about removal as the solution to families that are struggling, and alternative ways to ensure that families can stay together where everybody is safe and thrives. We need to recognize that child protection systems do not have the best interests of children. It's not about protecting children, it's about furthering the political agenda of the colonial project.
And the SBS audio news today says, and I quote, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese has given an address to mark the 18th anniversary of the National Apology to the Stolen Generations at Parliament House in Canberra. It comes a day after the government handed down the annual Closing the Gap report, which found just 4 of 19 targets are on track for success before the current agreement expires in 2031. There are also four areas where progress has stalled or gone backwards, namely youth incarceration, child removal, early development, and suicide. That is from the SBS audio news today. What are your thoughts on this SBS news story today?
It's not at all surprising. In fact, it's something that Aboriginal advocates have been talking about for years. We have the solutions to be able to close the gap and to turn things around, but governments are not listening. They do not want to relinquish control. They don't want to work in genuine partnership. We do have the solutions in respect of, child removals, which is the area where I have expertise. We have presented the government with solutions. Governments need to stop removing children, and the children that are in out-of-home care need to be reunited with their families. We know that there are many, many children who could go home but are not going home because systems are designed that once children are taken, they can't be restored because of the way legislation and policy has been set up to prioritise that child's out-of-home care placement with their carer or the residential service where they're living. It really is about honouring our solutions and relinquishing that government power, but we're just not seeing it.
You mentioned solutions there. What can we do as Australians to move forward on this?
As I said, it's really about casting a critical lens on child protection systems. So when you hear things like, a child has been abused and neglected, or there's a child who is living in out-of-home care, don't assume that child is in out-of-home care because their family are unsafe or because they don't have a family to go to. Children have families to go to. The problem is the system is designed to remove children, to not prioritise the reunification with family, and to not prioritise the child being placed with family, even though it is right there in legislation as a priority. So it's really just about shifting that mindset and questioning government. And this isn't just coming from me. This is coming from years and years of scathing reports across Australia in all jurisdictions, showing evidence that child protection systems are failing. So why is it that we are happy to tolerate and be complicit in the continuation of these systems when they're failing our children?
And BJ Newton, my final question to you today is, what do you think is the absolute best outcome for us to see right across the nation into the future?
My blue sky thinking is about liberating all Aboriginal children and families from child protection systems. So that means making child protection systems obsolete for Aboriginal families. This means ensuring that Aboriginal communities have the ability to have sustained resourcing and to thrive, to be able to support families to function in the best possible way. This is about governments recognizing that they need to step aside and they need to honour the power and the sovereignty of Aboriginal people to care for their own children. That is what I would like to see.
Associate Professor BJ Newton from the University of New South Wales, thank you so much for your time today on NITV Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure spending time with you on the radio. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Martin Luther King III's visit just 2 weeks ago. He touched down in Australia for a 4-day legacy tour about legacy and leadership aimed at supporting First Nations economic empowerment through partnerships with career trackers. Yama, you're listening to NITV Radio. I'm Nairi Pakai, and today I'm joined by Martin Luther King III. He's here, part of a legacy and leadership tour, and he's speaking with us today. Thanks for coming. How are you going?
I'm doing pretty well. So just have arrived yesterday in country, and so honored to be here with Career Trackers, and so grateful for the work that they have done, are doing, and will continue to do to build bridges with corporate Australia, to build bridges with the colleges and universities, to build bridges with their interns, and to be with the 1,500 alumnus who have gone through the Career Trackers program.
It's been 16 years with a program like Career Trackers. It's offering training, experience, and economic opportunities for First Nations mob, widely known to be inspired from your father's I Have a Dream speech. In what ways do you hope to inspire this generation of mob here when you come and speak with them?
So I hope that whenever I speak to young people, my hope is always to not just provide a foundation, but provide examples of how you can make your contribution, how you can also benefit from what is going on. And it's not about telling people. It really is about inspiring them to become their best selves. And it's about, I think that when we see what has happened, we see the incremental, I'll say incremental progress, because progress can sometimes be significant. Other times it's just a little. And the reality is we must work to create a lot of progress so that no one is ever mistreated ever again. So that the painful past, you first of all, it's important, it is said that a people that do not know their history are doomed to repeat the mistakes of the past. So it's imperative for the whole society to understand what was done, and to understand that was wrong. And we should want to correct those past mistakes to create a better society so that everyone is engaged. And First Nations folks should be engaged before anyone if we're really truthfully going to do what's right. And this should all the horrific behavior should never have happened, but it did. And what can be done? I think Career Trackers creates a path for how you do things right, how you create educational opportunities, how you create employment opportunities, how you create the opportunity for First Nations people to not just be participating, but to be leading, because there's value that First Nations communities bring to the table.
Australia has its own set of racial, political, and systemic challenges. How do you hope your work with Realize the Dream will make an impact here?
Well, what I hope is Realize the Dream is a service initiative. It's about getting 100 million hours of service done by 2029, which is the 100th birthday of my father, and we observe in the United States. And actually, Dad's birthday is observed in over 100 countries around the world. So the service initiative is about us coming together. It might just be something simple like cleaning up a community. It might be mentoring young people. It might be working with seniors. It could be there are hundreds of opportunities for people to engage in service. And we, as I said, our goal is 100 million hours of service by 2029. And so I hope that Realizing the Dream sets an example of what can be achieved to build community. Not just in the United States, but really around the world.
You have had a beautiful welcome this morning with a Welcome to Country ceremony, speaking with some of the mob here, including Anibab Sims. How do you hope that your time here, you gain something from us?
Well, I already have. Just the welcome itself was just amazing. The smoke ceremony, the words of Anibab and what she shared connected our legacies, our pathways. The dancing was phenomenal, and the singing was amazing. So I feel lifted up just by that. And I'm sure that there will be more things, because you always derive something from particularly the young people. I'm very interested in hearing what's on the minds of the young people. My father was only 26, 27 when he became one of the leaders of the modern civil rights movement. So it really is young people that have, and he was only 39. He was killed at 39, so he was still very young. I'm 68. So I want people to understand that, listen, it's never too early to get involved in being a change maker. And I hope I can engage and inspire that, but I also want to hear what it is that they want to do, and if there's a way that I can be helpful to their mission.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've given up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. You're listening to NITV Radio. NITV Radio was on site at the Sydney Opera House for the Welcome to Country ceremony, the first day of Career Trackers' end of internship for 2026. The 2026 year is marked by significant guest for Career Trackers, with Martin Luther King III speaking for multiple panels to up to 1,500 plus interns. I speak with multiple alumni of the Career Trackers program, as well as the CEO, Adam Davids, who himself was once a Career Trackers intern. Have a listen to a couple of these chats. Can you introduce yourself? What's your name? Who's your mob? Where are you from?
Hi, I'm Adam Davids. Mob come from Wiradjuri country through my mum, and I'm the CEO of Career Trackers.
Big title. How do you feel that you're impacting First Nations people in their professional journeys?
Yeah, look, well, I sort of took conviction from my mum, who always worked in the social sector, and doing a commerce degree at UNSW, always had an itch that I needed to do something more, and I disobeyed all the advice given to me, which was to go and be an accountant or something like that, and or take a job that pays the most money. And my first job out of university was Career Trackers, because I caught this vision of how do we support Moab into positions of influence and leadership, in particular focusing on higher education as a pathway, focusing on the professions, and that is in places like engineering, in the business community, in science and law. And for me, as a proud Aboriginal man that grew up in southwest Sydney and in the country in a place like Wagga, opportunities were normally mostly available in the sports arena or in arts. It was very rarely about accessing a higher education or chasing after a profession, a position of management and a position of leadership. And as the economy makes a transition, and there have been many economic transitions in the last 150 years, much of which Indigenous Australians were an afterthought or actively excluded, today represents a different future. There are opportunities to access internships, and Career Trackers is a catalyst for that. And for me, I take great pride in this work. It's a privilege to have a vehicle and a model for change. And thankfully, we've had the support of Mr. King, Martin Luther King III, the son of Dr. King and Coretta Scott King, and their vision for change is a similar one. Indigenous Australians have long held connections and took inspiration from civil rights leaders in the United States. And so we're here to continue that legacy. And for me, that's what I wake up and think about every day when I'm super pumped to do this work.
I was going to say, you have Martin Luther King III here today talking about legacy, advocacy, and also his campaign of Realize the Dream. Career Trackers famously is born out of the idea from the original speech of Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. How do you feel that Career Trackers is on that road of realising the dream?
Yeah, look, I think Mob have had aspirations for certainly predating Career Trackers, predating even the Australian and the civil rights movement. Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islanders have wanted access to opportunity, and they had been taken advantage of in the past. But what we didn't have was a model, a vehicle. The civil rights leaders in the United States, as they recognized here, was that legal reform and policy making really was one step. And it really is incumbent on people in positions of influence, but everyday people, to take it upon themselves to make a contribution, no matter how small or large. And Mr. Martin Luther King's Realize the Dream initiative is a testament to that. It is about ensuring people carry the sense of responsibility to contribute, to give their time and their talent and perhaps their treasure. And for Career Trackers, we take that very seriously, because we do support Indigenous students to get a degree and to chase after a profession that they're very passionate about and they have great skills in. And we want them to be not just the best Indigenous professional, but the best professional, period. But as they rise and ascend into positions of influence and leadership, what's so important is that they carry that sense of responsibility to give back. And that means supporting younger people coming from behind, and opening a door, giving advice, being a mentor, facilitating professional development, helping them navigate an environment. And Career Trackers does that every day, but we expect that our students and our graduates, as developed people, carry that sense of responsibility. And Mr. King has long held the conviction, as his father did, with that sense of responsibility.
So Career Trackers is offering opportunities for training, education and professional experience in the professional world for First Nations Mob. Many of our students that come through, it's their first time coming through, it's their first time their families come through, and a lot of the times, the first time that they're in rooms where they're the only black fella. How do you promote connecting and networking within the Career Trackers network?
Well, first and foremost, there are a lot of questions.
Sorry.
That people have. No, not you. I'm talking about students, right? And I know this firsthand. As a black fella that did a commerce degree at the University of New South Wales, navigating a university environment was new. Navigating a workplace and organisations can be new experiences. How do you talk to people? What kind of work is expected of me? What about all the personalities and the things that get said? How do you make a good impression? And Career Trackers help students to figure out how they're best going to answer those questions and navigate those environments. And so this particular week, we're holding a conference for hundreds of Indigenous students from around the country who can support each other, but also hear from experts and leaders to help them navigate these particular environments. And for us, that's really core to what we do, is helping them navigate those challenges and those realities.
I want to touch back on a dream. You're currently working in Career Trackers. Career Trackers is now, I believe, at 16. Is there a dream for Career Trackers at this point in time?
Yeah, we have 1,600 alumni. These are university-educated graduates who are chasing after professional pathways and positions of influence and leadership, not just in Australia but around the world. And our job is to continue to nurture their development. Their development shouldn't just end in middle management. And we need corporate Australia leading employers to come to the table. They've come to a table in an incredible way in the past 16 years. But now the transition is how do we not only support continuously Indigenous students through paid internships who are undergraduate students around Australia, but how do we support the continuous development of these graduates who are trying to get into positions of management and leadership? And I think that if we do this successfully, not just in 2 or 3 year cycles, but over the next few decades, we are going to see Indigenous representation in the highest echelons of leadership and decision making. Right now, there are only 4 Indigenous Australians that sit in a boardroom of an ASX 200 company. None, I think, on the public record have ever been reported in the C-suite team of those organisations. We're going to change that. And you know, the Honourable Linda Burney, who is our Minister for Indigenous Affairs, demanded to see, by 2030, an Indigenous CEO of an ASX 200 company. And a program like Career Trackers is a model for change. It won't happen overnight. But our vision is certainly that we're going to turn that dream into a reality.
Is there anything that you want to highlight whilst we're here, whilst I have the mic?
I want to congratulate NITV on all of your work and thank the organisation for not only giving a voice to mob around the country, but also to programs like Career Trackers. There is, incredibly harsh stories that get perpetuated, throughout the media, and to see such incredible Indigenous leadership in the media through NITV is really amazing. And we're incredibly thankful that NITV and SBS are one of our event partners, particularly as it relates to our conference and our gala dinner and awards event on Thursday night. Thank you.
Introduce yourself. Who are you? What's your name? Where are you from?
Sure. Hi, my name is Bridget Sancho, and I'm the Executive Director of Engagement at Career Trackers. And so my portfolio works with all of the amazing advisors that provide coaching and mentoring and support for our amazing, deadly interns.
So today is connected to the alumni, it's connected to the end of the 2025 internship. How do you feel about the impact of the work that you're doing for First Nations mob?
Yeah, I think it's absolutely incredible. I mean, from day one, our interns, we believe that they are excellent. We're just here to bring out what's best in them and also just to inspire them to, go after their career aspirations. We have amazing industry partners who we partner with, who really believe in our interns and who really want to see them eventually come into their organizations and also be decision makers and those who are really going to shape Australia's leadership moving forward. So it's really exciting.
What's your name? Who's your mob? Where are you from?
Yeah, Todd Crawford, Manadangi mob. I'm an alumni and a board of Career Trackers.
So today we've heard from Martin Luther King III as well as other guests. How has being in this room with stakeholders, new and old students, inspired you to go forward and be deadly?
Yeah, it's just a good reminder of why we're here and the Career Trackers program and the people that's come before us and the responsibility we have. I think the words from Martin Luther King about, upholding the legacy, and it's not about just a hand up, but how you take that responsibility and continue the legacy like he has for his father and his father before that. And I think Career Trackers is all about that. The reason why Career Trackers program exists and the reason why I exist is the people before us. And I think it's a good reminder that in the chaos and noise of today, you take a moment to think about the people that came before you and how lucky we are as a people.
Taking this moment to reflect on the people that come before you, how have your family or your Career Trackers advisors helped support you to get to where you are?
Yeah, I think it's everything, right? My family, my parents from Roma in Queensland, they're still there, they're still living there, but they're very hardworking people and always done the best that they possibly can for me. And Career Trackers is the same. Like, I would not be here or the person I am without either of them. Career Trackers, as an example, has completely fundamentally changed my life in every aspect you could possibly imagine. And I think the two of them, my parents, in terms of the generosity, love and hardworking ethic, and Career Trackers of showing me a path that not only me but my family couldn't imagine, the combination of them is, like Renee said earlier, is literally the makeup of who I am today.
And speaking of legacy but also connecting with people, how has your experiences been connecting with First Nations mobs who are also going through this professional journey?
Yeah, it's honestly, a lot of my best friends are from the Career Trackers program. I've been part of the program since 2011, so a very long time. But, you know, even Adam and the staff and ex-staff, ex-alumni, they're all my closest friends. And also mentors, mentees. I mentor Career Trackers students. So it's a community, as a cliche, but it really is across the program where we're all still growing up together.
Starting a new life in Australia isn't easy.
A lot of companies have rejected me.
Sometimes I feel like, oh, I'm gonna quit, I've give up.
Work in Progress is a podcast to help skilled migrants rebuild their careers in a new country. You'll hear inspiring real-life stories, expert advice, and valuable tips to help you find a job and advance your career. Work in Progress. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.